Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Pre-pandemic, women who decided they wanted to terminate a pregnancy, they were required to go in person to a doctor to get the abortion pill. Concerns now about the spread of COVID-19 have prompted an easing of that restriction. But now the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, backed by the Trump administration, is putting pressure on the nation's highest court to reinstate the in-person requirement. What is the controversy and what are the facts surrounding the abortion pill? If you have a question or a comment, call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're joined by Angela Hill, national investigative journalist with the Scripps Washington Bureau. Angela Hill, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Dr. Dan Grossman, professor in the Department of Obstetrics, Gynecology, and Reproductive Sciences and director of Advancing New Standards in Reproductive Health at the Bixby Center for Global Reproductive Health at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Grossman, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much.
So, Angela Hill, can you give us an update? What is this controversy? And so right now, are we in a state where we're waiting for the Supreme Court are they going to have arguments? Are they just going to decide? What's going on here?
Yeah, so we're at a state now where the controversy continues around access and safety of the abortion pill. As you stated in your introduction, for several years now, there have been questions around how safe is the abortion pill. And, you know, the FDA approved this drug back in 2000. And when they approved the drug, it was under a number of restrictions. And some of those restrictions included the fact that the woman could not take this pill on her own. She had to go to a medical provider, a doctor, a hospital, who was certified to distribute this pill in order to access the pill. And so that was one of the restrictions that the FDA put into place when the drug was approved back in 2000, 20 years ago this month. In addition, the FDA said that this drug, because of the concerns that it had around safety, could not be accessible with the prescription at a pharmacy. And so that meant that, again, the woman would not be able to contact her regular doctor who...
And Angela, are you there? Dr. Grossman, are you there? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Last June, Chief Justice John Roberts provided a brief reprieve to abortion providers, joining his liberal colleagues on the high bench in striking down a Louisiana anti-abortion law, and that reprieve could be very short-lived. A case is now before the Supreme Court that could give them a way to undercut the way to have access to the abortion pill. We're now back with Angela Hill. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I apologize. Not sure what happened.
And Dr. Grossman, you're back too as well, I hope.
I am.
All right. So Dr. Grossman, if you could explain, because doing the research for today's program, you know, you Google something like the abortion pill and you get a lot of stuff. And some of it not accurate, not even close. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about what happens when someone takes an abortion pill, and even if it can be reversed, is something else that's been discussed. What can you tell us?
Sure. This is actually one of the most well-studied treatments that we are using in medicine. As Angela Hill mentioned, the drug was approved in 2000 in the U.S. It's actually been used much longer than that in Europe and China. This is a very safe and effective treatment. About 4 million patients in the United States have used the treatment, and we have lots of really good data. So it's a very safe and effective treatment. The chance of having a serious complication with a medication abortion is about 0.3%. So it's very rare. Patients really like this treatment. The proportion of abortions that are done with medication abortion has steadily increased since 2000, since the medication was first approved. So now about 60% of all eligible abortions are done with medication abortion.
And how far along in the pregnancy is the abortion pill available?
So it's been approved by the FDA for use up through 10 weeks of pregnancy. There's also data on it being used up to 11 weeks, and some clinics are doing that.
So the case is turning on whether or not the courts should relax longstanding FDA-imposed restrictions on this drug, mifepristone. And so it's commonly used in medical abortions and in order to make the drug easier to obtain during the COVID-19 pandemic. This is not something that someone who is far along in a pregnancy would be able to use.
Correct. So it's used, again, generally up to 10 weeks of pregnancy, counting from the last menstrual period.
And Angela Hill, in your reporting, you talk about how highly restrictive this drug is. Can you talk about that?
Yes, this drug has been highly restricted since it came on the market here in the U.S. As we mentioned back in 2000, the FDA has put a number of restrictions around it, including the fact that a patient has to go to her provider, a provider who is certified to distribute the abortion pill to get access to it. In addition, this pill is not available with a prescription at a pharmacy. And so in our reporting, we were curious to understand a little bit more about just the safety of this pill, why the FDA has put it under such restrictions, and also the impact that these restrictions are having on patients, particularly women who live in medically underserved communities or rural communities as well.
So this is a drug that is more tightly controlled by the FDA than these powerful opiates are.
That's correct. I mean, we did a lot of research and digging in the FDA database, and what we did find is that, indeed, as you said, this drug is even more restricted than fentanyl, which we know is a very powerful opioid. In addition, we looked at sort of the data around the safety of this drug, and we compared it to a number of drugs, including reproductive health drugs for men like Viagra and even the drug penicillin. And we found that, you know, the abortion pill has a better safety record than Viagra and a better safety record than penicillin.
So if it's not causing unwanted side effects at a high rate, if it's not dangerous to women to use, Dr. Grossman, why is it so difficult to obtain?
That's a very good question. You know, these restrictions might have made sense back in 2000 when the first drug was first approved, and there was limited data here in the U.S., but they really just don't make sense now, 20 years later. We did a national survey of OBGYNs a few years ago and found that overall about 14% of OBGYNs provided medication abortion in the prior year, but it looked like potentially that number would double if they could write a prescription and have their patients pick up the medications at a pharmacy. It just doesn't make sense to force doctors and clinicians to stock the medications in their clinic and force patients to go in person to pick them up. So it really is a barrier to access. I also just want to say, though, that there are, in addition to these FDA restrictions, additional restrictions imposed at the state level that make it hard to access medication abortion. These include things like bans on the use of telemedicine to provide abortion care, laws that say only a physician can provide medication abortion, even though it's been shown to be very safe for nurse practitioners and nurse midwives, physician's assistants to provide medication abortion, things like that. So those also limit the access to this safe and effective treatment.
So Dr. Grossman, in Texas, we have some restrictions for women who seek an abortion. They have to have a wand inspection and also have to be shown of fetal heartbeat or other types of, there's a lot there. All those types of restrictions, they come into play even if someone is seeking a medical abortion from the abortion pill.
Yes. So in Texas, if a patient lives within 100 miles of the nearest abortion facility, they have to have two visits. So essentially they have to come in at least 24 hours before, have an ultrasound done, receive counseling that's mandated by the state, and providers can't use telemedicine in Texas. So unfortunately, patients in Texas and many parts of the South and Midwest are really denied access to these advances in medical technology that people in other parts of the country can access.
All right, we're taking a break. Our phones are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll continue our discussion about access to the abortion pill when we come back from the break.
I'm Yvette Benavides, the host of Book Public, a Texas Public Radio podcast about books. Listen in to Book Public, where we'll talk to authors about their books and why and how they wrote them. At Book Public, we're committed to connecting listeners to books that help us understand today's world and each other a little bit better.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the abortion pill and access to it. Currently, women who want to terminate a pregnancy safely have access to it. They don't have to make this special trip to a doctor here in Texas. A lot of restrictions here. But that's only because of COVID-19. They don't want to spread COVID-19. So we're relaxing that restriction that was found by the Supreme Court. But then that could be reversed. And then some people like Texas Senator Ted Cruz would like to have the abortion pill completely banned from the United States. What's the reality? What are the facts? Because a lot of misinformation out on the internet about what the abortion pill is, what it does. Call in if you've got a question or comment. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Bonnie is on the line. Bonnie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to point out, and perhaps some of your experts can comment on this, a first-term abortion, by any means, is safer than giving birth, especially with our maternal mortality statistics in Texas.
All right. Bonnie, thank you for that. And particularly for this is something that needs to be addressed. Having a safe birth is something that we need to provide. And in Texas, we're not doing a very good job about that. So Dr. Dan Grossman, can you talk about those statistics?
Yeah, so as I said, you know, we have a great deal of data now on the safety of medication abortion, and it's very safe. The risk of death is about 14 times higher for continuing a pregnancy to term and giving birth compared to having a medication abortion. So the caller is right. It's safer to have an early abortion than to continue the pregnancy to term. That's also true for all the serious complications. These serious complications are more common with childbirth than with an early abortion.
Angela Hill, a national investigative reporter with the Scripps Washington Bureau, on your reporting on the abortion pill question, what did you find about the burden that many women have to deal with, particularly if they live in rural areas and areas that are underserved medically?
Yes, we spoke to a number of women across the country by phone, by email, by text, and you know, a number of women who live in rural and medically underserved communities are really concerned. I mean, these are women who may have financial challenges. They don't have access to a vehicle to get to a doctor who's certified to provide this this pill. They may have to take public transportation. So there are a number of issues that these women and patients often face, which is why many of them said to us, you know, my colleague who I reported this story with, Karen Rodriguez, said, look, you know, this would be a lot easier, more convenient for us. You wouldn't have to worry about childcare issues if they already have children, having to find someone to watch their children or take off from work in order to get to a provider who has access to this pill. And another thing that I should note, as Dr. Grossman stated, that, you know, even the FDA's own records show that the abortion pill is safe and that complications rarely occur. And so, you know, you asked the question prior to the break, you know, why these restrictions? And I think that's a question that, you know, at least we posed to the FDA, and they really never fully answered. They came back to us and said, you know, this is for the protection of women and that these restrictions will remain in place.
Let's go to David on the phones. And David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm interested in what your conversation is today. I think we should be promoting a culture of life, not death. And ending a life at any age should be difficult, not easy. Having to visit the doctor twice to make sure you want to make the right decision, I don't think is unreasonable. And I think getting this stuff through the mail is not reasonable. So that's my comment, David. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling in and sounding off on that. Dr. Dan Grossman, a culture of life, having reasonable barriers for people to make sure that they really want these things. I think that's what he's lobbying for.
Well, yeah, I can address the caller's points just from a medical perspective that when we make abortion access difficult, we increase the risk for patients. It doesn't make patients more sure of their decision. There's been research showing that patients who are seeking abortion have very carefully considered their options. And in fact, they're more sure of their decision than are patients seeking medical care for other kinds of services. And instead, these barriers create obstacles which push patients later into the pregnancy when the medical risks of terminating a pregnancy start to increase. It becomes more expensive for patients. It can be harder to access care. And particularly during a pandemic, making a patient come in multiple times to a healthcare facility, increasing the risk of potentially acquiring or transmitting COVID-19, really just doesn't make sense.
We do know that if some women who don't have access to the official abortion pill, they will find something elsewhere to access, whether it be there like a knockoff of drugs available at flea markets in some areas. Also, you can go across the border into Mexico and you could buy it there. And you could also purchase something online. Sometimes there are herbal remedies that are being told as something that will terminate a pregnancy. And you don't know what actually you're getting in any of those cases. You're asking women to take a bigger risk than if they could just access something that has been regulated and we know has actually been manufactured under the highest of standards. So Dr. Grossman, is that an issue of forcing women to take what you might want to call, I guess this is sort of a crude term, but sort of a medical clothes hanger?
Yeah, well, you know, the unsafe abortion in the past was incredibly dangerous. As you talked about, you mentioned coat hangers, and patients died from that. Luckily now, there are methods that people can access on their own that are safe and effective to end a pregnancy. But certainly for a patient who prefers to be seen in a medical facility and be cared for by a clinician, it really is inhumane to force that patient to look for things on their own to try to end the pregnancy. And sometimes, yes, they may end up using a treatment that is either ineffective or potentially unsafe.
We have an email. This is from Elise Ringboyen, the chair of the board of directors for Planned Parenthood South Texas. For Dr. Grossman, is there any medical scientific reasons why nurse practitioners and midwives should not administer the abortion pill? Is there any safety or any other kind of justification for using these professionals from keeping them from administering these pills?
No, it really, there's a great deal of evidence showing that non-physicians, including nurse practitioners, nurse midwives, physician's assistants can safely and effectively evaluate patients for medication abortion and provide the necessary follow-up care. And the clinical outcomes with these clinicians are just as good as with physicians. So there is no medical reason to restrict and prevent them from providing the service. And so in about 18 states or so, these clinicians are allowed to provide medication abortion. In fact, the FDA updated the labeling for the abortion pill in 2016 and kind of took out the language that said physicians only and refers to healthcare providers. So essentially the FDA acknowledges that that these kinds of clinicians can safely and effectively provide the treatment.
Angela Hill, in your reporting, what do we know about what's happening with the Supreme Court? Are we basically on standby waiting for them to rule on this?
Yes, that's essentially where we are right now. We are waiting for them to make a decision about where things stand. I think your listeners may know that back in July, the U.S. District Court Judge Theodore Chong in Maryland concluded that in-person requirements for patients seeking a medication abortion impose an obstacle to patients in light of the pandemic. The FDA then went to the Supreme Court last month asking the justices to block that district court's order. And they believe that, you know, patients should still be able to go in person, meet this FDA in-person requirement. And so now we're just waiting to hear how the Supreme Court is going to respond.
And Dr. Dan Grossman, do you see something of an irony when we have people calling for a culture of life, but you want people to have to physically go during a pandemic and to access this pill, which puts the woman at risk?
Yes, I think, that particularly during the pandemic, it doesn't make medical sense. It's not going to make patients more sure of their decision, and it really puts patients at risk. I do just want to clarify that while we are waiting for this to hear what the Supreme Court will do, unfortunately, my understanding is, this isn't going to make a difference in a place like Texas, where there are laws saying that patients have to come in for the ultrasound, and you can't use telemedicine for to provide medication abortion. Unfortunately, those state level restrictions wouldn't be affected by this case.
Okay, so just to clarify really quickly, because I'm up against the wall here, in Texas, you still really cannot get access to the abortion pill without going through running all those traps. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, Dr. Dan Grossman, professor in the Department of Obstetrics, Gynecology, and Reproductive Sciences. And I also want to thank Angela Hill, who is a national investigative journalist with the Scripps Washington Bureau. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by Ruben Garcia and Kathleen Creedon. Dan Capps is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.